Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Houston is all systems go.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Lance Zierlein and Dell. I think A.J. Hoffman's about to come in a little bit. John Granato is sick on his birthday, the holiest of days, John Granato's birthday. He is sick. We hope he's better. He's having a hard time breathing. I'm going to say Coors Light may or may not have had something to do with that. You just never know with John. We're going to have Richard Justice joining us here in just 1 second. Make sure that we got the right number, Dell. Let me know. And we can try to get him. So talk about the Astros free agency and also Major League Baseball free agency. Everything's at a standstill right now because the big boys, they can't get the big boys to sign, Machado and Bryce Harper. And until those dominoes fall, no one else wants to be involved in free agency. Joining us right now is MLB Network and MLB.com's very own Richard Justice. Hey, Richie, how you doing, buddy?
Good morning, Lance. How are you this morning?
Are there any bylines that I missed? You vote for the Hall of Fame. Did it go the way you wanted it?
Curt Schilling belongs in, but I'm glad that Mike Mussina was a long time getting in. Edgar Martinez was a long time getting in. And there's still some backup. It was awful that Lance and Roy Oswalt dropped off the ballot. I mean, I don't know if they belong in the Hall of Fame, but they certainly belong in a longer conversation. And if Edgar Martinez belongs in the Hall of Fame, Lance Berkman does.
So that was a surprise to me. You know, I always felt like just watching baseball for years, Edgar Martinez was known as the quote-unquote professional hitter. I mean, just a great hitter, great on-base percentages. But when you go look at – somebody made the point about, well, if Lance Berkman – you know, if Edgar Martinez is in, why not Lance Berkman? I thought, what? Lance Berkman doesn't even have 2,000 hits. He can't be in the Hall of Fame. But then when you go look at the numbers, it's not as crazy as I initially thought. Lance Berkman is not that far off from Edgar Martinez.
And you know what? I think he's going to get in, too. You know, they have these second chance committees in. And when you look, just look at his name comes across their desk and they look at his numbers, they're going to say, whoa, if Harold Baines belongs in, if Edgar Martinez belongs in, Lance Berkman certainly belongs in.
What do you feel like that's they shouldn't have fallen off the ballot? Why did they fall off the ballot that quickly?
Because
why
you
didn't
only
they
have
get
10 and we've got other guys? Hey, I have to admit, I didn't vote for Lance. I voted for Scott Rolen over Lance.
Right.
And I wouldn't have done it had I known he was going to fall off. I keep voting for Billy Wagner because if closers and DHs are part of the game, they ought to be in the Hall of Fame. And if Lee Smith's in the Hall of Fame and Trevor Huffman's in the Hall of Fame, then Billy Wagner ought to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think there ought to be that 5% rule, like you fall off.
Right.
I mean, but the bottom line is, I'll bet you someday Lance gets in the Hall of Fame.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, hey, look, Harold Baines is in. And, you know, these second-chance committees go through and take a real close look. They meet. You know, it's not unlike what the NFL does. You know, so in the last 2 years, Jack Morris, Alan Trammell, Lee Smith, Harold Baines have all gotten in the Hall of Fame. I voted for three of those guys routinely, Lee Smith, Trammell, and Morris. So, you know, we'll see. He had a great career, but he deserves this other honor.
Let's talk about what the Astros have done up to this point. And from a free agency standpoint, I know a lot of people wanted the Astros to be more involved. There was a lot of talk about, are they the secret team? And I know there was an article that the Astros had considered Bryce Harper, that there had been talks before the trade deadline about Bryce Harper. Is there no chance that now that they've got Brantley, there's no chance that the Astros are a secret team right now with Bryce Harper, right?
No, not at the money being talked about. Jeff Luno, the Dodgers believe this, that depth and flexibility is more important, that you'd rather have three right fielders making $10 million than three making $30 million free agency is undergoing a sea change. You know, a couple of years ago, I was in the Cardinals GM's office, and I said, you know, the NFL's done all these studies that 27 is your year of peak performance. And John Mozeliak said, I can't believe you said that. And he showed me a spreadsheet. 27 is the peak year of performance. So what we're seeing in free agency is teams are not going to pay for your age 32, 33, 34 seasons. And even with guys like Machado and Harper who are 26, they're not going to give them 10 years. They would rather teams, rather than pay a 33-year-old, teams would rather pay a 21-year-old minimum salary, and the guy's going to get better as opposed to giving the time to a guy who's going to be making 10 times the money and his production's going to start going down. The problem is, Lance, as you know, the compensation system is designed to pay a player in the second half of his career, and that's got to be changed.
Yeah, and that's the problem, because when you look at free agency for the Astros, for example, it's glaring, obviously. Brantley is 32 years of age, and he's going to get paid, but Michael Brantley, they add him, he's 32.
Yeah, but on a two-year contract.
But only on a two-year contract. You got a one-year contract for Robinson Chirinos, but he's 35 years old,
right.
So he's a Band-Aid, you know that, going in. Wade Miley is a Band-Aid as well, and he's a 32-year-old. But he's somebody, though, when you look at his background, though, Richard, I want you to talk about him for a second. Not a great year last year, obviously. Well, he had the injury. And then the year before, he had this unusually high amount of walks. But then when you look at his background, he had some pretty decent performances up to then. What makes him – the Astros clearly do a good job of finding guys that they think they can flip, kind of flip this house, like with Charlie Morton. They can – you know, revitalize. Why do they think he's a project that they can revitalize?
Well, where did he go last year? He went to Milwaukee. And what is that? It's the same Astro. It's the Astros.
Right.
And they looked at him and said, you know, you need to change your pitch usage. This slot, this cutter that you came up with last year, this was a really good pitch for you, and you need to throw it a lot more. And he hurt his, like, pulled a groin, pulled a lat muscle. He is exactly what the Astros have made money on. You know, he's $4.5 million investment, and if they get 16 starts out of him, they'll be happy. I think they're pretty happy with their. I think they're actually thrilled with their off season. You know, they Jeff Luhnow made a run at Jay Happ, Nathan Eovaldi. He made a run at Nelson Cruz, but he didn't make a really strong run. And I think he's decided less is more. They go to camp really thrilled with their team. And, you know, they have the four veteran starters with McHugh, who also learned a cutter back in the rotation. But they have all these pitchers, Corbin Martin from Texas A&M.
That's the one they're high on from what I've been told.
And you know, Forrest Whitley and Corbin Martin have both thrown 110 miles an hour over the offseason. But, it's a fluky thing.
Say that again.
They move the gun up. These guys throw in a very controlled environment. They both threw 110. Now, that doesn't mean – what does that translate to on a mound? That translates to probably 96, 97.
Oh, okay.
But it's bringing it pretty good. They love those guys, and they feel like with Josh James and Valdez and this guy J.B. Bukakis, and that they have young pitching all over the place. I think they think – I don't know, who's the best team in the American League? Boston, New York, Houston. That's the conversation. They know they're going to win the American League West. You know, and you build your roster for February 1, you build it for April 1, and then you build it again for September 1. And I think Luhnow feels, I have money to spend. I have prospects to spend. If there's a glaring need, you know, they tried to get Realmuto, but they were not going to give up Kyle Tucker for JT Realmuto. And, you know, they have. What Jeff looked at, it was like, okay, the Cubs won, but where are the Cubs now? Their farm system is decimated. He said, we're not going to go down that road.
Right.
So in Tucker and Whitley, they have two of the top eight prospects in baseball, and they just said, this is, and I think they ended up with six of the top 100. I think only the Padres had more. So for a team that's been to the playoffs three times in 5 years and won 100 games back-to-back years, you know, because you have to keep supplanting. He has managed to keep a long view where, you know, you when you see a window to win, you'll do anything to win. And he just has been more patient than that.
I have no problem with fading the public outcry for, you know, to do something now, to do this, to do that, to get the name guy in here. I have no problem with that. I'm smart enough to know that teams are built through patience and prudence. However, with that said, John made the point the other day that I think is a fair point to discuss is there's Jeff Luhnow, the builder and Jeff Leno, the wartime GM. And they seem to be a little bit different. And it is one thing to build an organization kind of almost from scratch. And there's another one to make moves in-game. Like, there's Gary Kubiak was a great preparation guy, an execution guy, but he wasn't great in the middle of a game at making, you know, necessary adjustments, it felt like. Do you think that – I feel like that might be fair, what John said. I still think Jeff Leno still has some things to prove in terms of his ability to make things happen on the move.
Yeah, but I would say this. They've won 100 games back-to-back years. They've made the playoffs 3 times in 4 years. They're going to make the playoffs for the 4th time in 5 years. When you look at what he inherited and where he is now, and they have shipped a ton of prospects out to get, you know, all the way back to getting Carlos Gomez and Mike Fiers and just to make deals, and they still have prospects.
Ken Giles.
Yeah, the body of work's been pretty good.
No, body of work's been great. He does, obviously, when you look at Tucker for Real Muto now, in hindsight, you could say, eesh.
It's 2 years of Realmuto. I mean, he's the best catcher in the game. You know, they have a good thing going now. Like, you ask Jim Crane, like, what's your job? Now, you remember the previous owner was slightly hands-on.
He was very hands-on, Richie.
But what Crane will tell you is, I'm the referee. I try to step in when A.J. and Luno have a disagreement or they're having a debate about something. I try to step in and listen and make a decision. Otherwise, I butt out and let them do their jobs. And it's amazing to hear Crane sometimes, like, he's very aware of certain things they're talking about, but on other things, it just doesn't register. He's got so much going on in his life, and he trusts those guys. He hired them to do their job, and he trusts them. It's like, this is what you want an owner to be. So we'll see. Now, he pushed him on the Verlander trade. Jeff could not get to the point where he was comfortable with the money and the prospects. And finally, Jim said, just go ahead and make the trade. Yeah. Let me worry about the money.
Yeah, and that was my concern, is getting credit for Verlander, really, the owner, and of course, you know, the Hurricane, I think, played a part in that. I think that certainly helped out. But we know Jeff knows how to build it.
Right. Boy, and we'll see maybe going and getting – maybe allowing the Twins to outbid Joe Nelson Cruz will end up being a mistake. But when he looked at it, like, teams don't really have full-time DHs anymore, and he just looked at the whole depth of the roster. And I don't know if they're right on this or not. They think Tony Kemp is going to be a productive player for a long time, and that when you looked at Kemp and Tyler White and all those guys, that they're going to be plenty productive. They last year, and Altuve wasn't Altuve, and Correa was a shadow of his former self. Of the whole position players, only Bregman exceeded expectations. Springer, you know, matched his expectations, but Reddick wasn't very good. The production at first base wasn't very good. The catching production wasn't very good. And they still won 103, and they think a lot of those things. I think Correa, you know, Altuve has said, I'm telling you, Correa is going to be the American League MVP this year because he's tired of people saying, oh, he's not what we thought he would be.
Well, let's hope they're right. And I think Josh James is going to be the dominant setup man in baseball when it's all said and done. That's how I think his role is going to play out. Based on what we saw in the postseason, wow.
Brings it up there pretty good, doesn't it?
Pretty good. Pretty hot. Hey, Richie, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Lance.
That's Richard Justice with MLB Network and MLB.com. You know, Robbins Brothers brings it up there pretty hot and heavy, too, when it comes time for engagement rings. They're the engagement ring store. Why did they get that designation? Well, unless you can bring 30 cases of engagement rings to the table, you're not even in the discussion. Don't even pull up to this table, all right? The buy-in is 30 engagement ring cases. That's the buy-in to this game. And guess what? Very few people around the nation can play that game. We've got them here in Houston. We've got 2 locations here in Houston. And we're talking highest quality hand-selected diamonds with a lifetime warranty. They carry more designers and more styles than any other jewelry store in Houston. That's what sets Robbins Brothers apart. Every engagement ring should be presented in a romantic, personal way that is meaningful to the couple. And Robbins Brothers will actually help grooms plan and execute the perfect proposal. Whether you want something low-key and romantic, or something that's splashy and showy that, you know, helps you show off to her how much you love her, they can help you over at Robbins Brothers. That's what they do. Not only do they get the great rings, they have the great help with your own personal concierge for a proposal. Now through Valentine's Day, you've got three more days, guys. Robbins Brothers is going to offer you no money down, interest-free financing for 48 months. That's 4 years of no interest at all on your diamond purchase. That's subject to credit approval and minimum $5,000 purchase with your Robbins Brothers credit card. But you're going to get one of the best rings in the entire city of Houston, and you got a huge selection for any budget available. Make sure you go to the location at 610 in San Felipe or right there on West Bay Area Boulevard in Webster. Always online at Robbins Brothers. That's two B's. RobbinsBrothers.com.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Let's get John in here. He wants to talk about Stephen A. Smith. What's up, John? How you doing?
Yeah, I want to talk about Stephen A. Smith. But first, is that disease you were talking about, the old person disease, was it consumption?
Consumption. Yeah, that was one of them.
I love all those old diseases. They sound just horrible. But Stephen A. Smith, when I saw that comment, you know, this is not, it isn't just college football. He did it with pro football. He did it now with college football.
I know, it was really bad with the Hunter Henry stuff.
There's like three players that weren't even in the game that he mentioned. I didn't even think of the racial aspect, which is just no big deal to me. Mm-hmm. How does he keep his job not knowing what he's talking about? And it's not just football. It's pro, now college, boxing. It's on YouTube. Go watch him and Teddy Atlas talk about boxing. Good Lord.
It was
embarrassing. It's embarrassing. How does he keep his job? He's so terrible. I know how he keeps his job. Even this right now, we're talking about
how he keeps his job? Because a lot of people are watching, John. Have you ever seen on TV when they go on the road, like in Atlanta, how many people were there? There are people who watch, listen to a show, and people who watch. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, you want to know why radio stations and TV shows and radio shows stay on the air that you don't like? Typically, it's because they make money.
Right. Well, and that's what I was about to say. Even now, these horrible mishaps, people are talking about it, and they're getting clicks because he's so stupid. So even though he did his job incorrectly, they're getting more clicks because he didn't know what he was talking about. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
I don't understand. It's just a bad formula. I listen for the entertainment factor nowadays. I don't even care about sports as I used to, but that guy there is just, this is a wonder.
I appreciate the call. It's been a bad, like, month and a half, 2 months for him. It was such a bad look. His breakdown of the who were they playing? It was San Diego versus
the Chiefs.
Yeah, versus Chiefs. There was like three things that weren't even remotely close to being accurate. It was so bad. And then he follows up with Dwayne Haskins, the running quarterback, with 100 yards rushing for the year and 50 passing touchdowns, 4,800. By the way, very much a statue in the pocket. Very much a statue in the pocket. It's time now, right, Dal, for our Robbins Brothers Play of the Week.
Long throw in time.
Here's your Diamond Play of the Week. Presented by Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store.
Shumpert will inbound. In his first game of the Rockets, throws it to Green, and Green lost it out of bounds. Made a difference. Thunder don't have any timeouts left. George gets it, and Tucker quickly fouls him. 45 for Paul George. at OKC. That's one of the biggest comebacks in the NBA this season, down 26. Come back on the road and beat the Rockets. They're now 10 and
This Diamond Play of the Week is presented by Robbins Brothers, the Engagement Ring Store, West Loop South at Clear Lake.
What a play. What a play.
How is that the Robbins Brothers Play of the Week? Turnovers and losing.
Well, we usually pick something from the weekend, and it's the most impactful thing Houston-related from the weekend, unless you could think of something else. I mean, if they would have won, I would have played maybe James. If James would have hit that three late, I would have played that. But he did not. Steven Adams tipped an inbounds pass that bounced off of Gerald Green, and the Rockets went on to lose a game they led by 26 points, as Mike Breen told you, courtesy of ABC or ESPN at the time.
That doesn't feel like the Robbins Brothers play. It feels like something like maybe James getting to number 30.
Well, he does that all the time now, Lance.
Yeah, it could exactly. Have been on, like, he's about to break Wilt Chamberlain's record.
Could have been on a free throw or something.
He will break Wilt's record.
Because he will make sure he does.
Well, no, he's just in the flow of the offense.
No. We've already seen in blowouts he will remain in a game to get to 30. Yes, I believe.
One time that happened, and he took a step back three.
Yeah,
and made it.
To make sure he got it done. I believe, yes, there's a shot because the Rockets like to emphasize records that don't mean much when it comes to winning.
Lies. AAF got started this weekend. Did you watch it? If you guys want to jump in, 713-780-3776. Maybe that's where Le'Veon Bell ends up, the AAF. That would be pretty neat. Or the XFL.
Seems unlikely, a guy who turned down franchise tag money as a running back.
Well, you never
to
know.
To play games.
They're looking to make a splash. Maybe you want to go play with Steve Spurrier. Maybe that's what you want to do. Not Mike March so much, but maybe you want to go play Steve Spurrier, and he goes to the AAF.
Why don't you just admit that you're going to buy yourself a Texans Le'Veon Bell jersey? Stop deflecting. You know what's going to happen.
I know. Look, which team is a better fit for Le'Veon Bell, Texans or Packers? Texans have a bunch of money. I'm going to keep pounding the table for Le'Veon. And I'm not a sign the highest guy in free agency, sign the big name running back. I'm not that guy. Hey, you got the wrong guy. I believe in building from the ground up. But he's that rare exception that could turn a lot of tumblers where you might be able to unlock that special cheat code for the Texans if you were to add him. We'll get to that here in just a second. The AAF got started this weekend. Dell and I talked about it earlier. I want to get to some of the changes that the AAF has and some of their rules and the way they're running that I think the NFL may adopt and some that they won't adopt when we come back here in a second. Right now, I want to tell you about our good friends over at Rose Express. Rose Express is taking care of you this Valentine's Day. And you think you're taking care of your wife or girlfriend or, I don't know, maybe it's your mom. Maybe you send something to your mom for Valentine's Day. I'm not going to judge. It feels creepy, but I'm not going to judge. I know this much. Rose Express makes it easier to do that, and they make it easier to make a big splash. If you go to roseexpress.com right now, you can get your special someone, roses, at wholesale prices. Now, this is impossible the week of Valentine's Day, except through Rose Express. These roses are cut right in the fields. They're packaged same day, and they are shipped out. So they're very, very fresh when they get to your loved one. They are delivered on the date that you choose, whether it's before Valentine's Day, you want it sent to yourself, you can do that today, and you can dress them up however you want, or if you want them sent direct to your wife at work or your girlfriend at work to make a big splash. You've got, let's see, right now, I've sent my daughter pink last week. Right now, they've got red left, so you can get your roses sent to her at her work if you choose, but you need to order today. RoseExpress.com. 50 roses for just $69. 25 for $39. How about making a big splash? 100 roses for just $129. That really is going to splash it up at her workplace, and you are going to be the hero. And you know what happens when you're the hero on Valentine's Day? You get to put the cape on and just relax. RoseExpress.com. Make her Valentine's Day special with beautiful hand-cut roses fresh from the fields. And do it at wholesale prices. RoseExpress.com.
I'll take that as a compliment. Got a house full of homies. Why I feel so the opposite.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
John's out today sick, even though it's his birthday. That's going to suck. Heck. That's a bad birthday. AJ Hoffman in the studio. What's up?
Hey, man.
You sound eminently more healthy than John did in his text today, where he said he might have pleurisy, or we're going to guess maybe consumption.
Vaccinate your children.
Yeah, he's an anti-vaxxer. His mom was an anti-vaxxer.
Doesn't die of consumption.
He's got polio, too.
Great. Well, I don't know how we'll replace him long term. I'm not getting up this early every day, I can tell you
that.
Did
you see there are legitimately measles outbreaks right now in the Pacific Northwest with all the anti-vaxxers? It's an outbreak. It's a huge outbreak. They had to say,
why should I vaccinate my kids? No one gets polio anymore. Yeah, dummy.
No, do you know when it started?
You know why?
Do you remember
because
when it started?
We vaccinate our kids.
Do you know when it started? Do you remember when it started, Del?
When was it? Ginny McCarthy?
That's it.
Yeah, Ginny McCarthy said, my kid got autism because of vaccinations. Yes.
And then the doctors all said he didn't. That's not how it
happened.
But
Ginny McCarthy's more famous than the doctors. She has more Twitter followers.
He got a tremendous amount of mercury in his system, and it gave him autism. And
also, like, oh my I didn't God. Breastfeed him. We just fed him raw fish from a young age. I don't know where else this mercury could have come from.
He's been eating spicy tuna, which he didn't even have to gum it down. It's a delivery.
Sashimi.
Yeah. So so the anti-vaxxers got real hot. They had a minute now. They had their moment.
But it's over.
And now, I hope.
Science has won on
No, it's not over. There's still anti-vaxxers.
I mean.
But there's conspiracy theorists on everything.
Climate change. There's still like people who are like, no, climate change isn't real.
Right.
And it's like, well, scientists said it's real.
This is my favorite thing about that. We've watched for our entire lives, 9 out of 10 dentists tell you to brush. 9 out of 10 dentists recommend this toothpaste, Sensodyne or whatever. Are you ever listening to Dentist 10? No. You're a Dentist 10. You're like, why would I listen to Mr. Yuckmouth, the dentist? I'm not listening to him ever. But then on the climate change, you're like, well, there's this scientist out in Queens who says this. I'm like, that's the guy.
Yeah.
He's the guy we're going to circle. Same thing with I just don't listen to the outliers, but I'm also not a conspiracy theorist. Dell has a conspiracy theory. You and I were talking about Stephen A. Smith and Dwayne Haskins stuff.
Yeah.
Dell, tell him your conspiracy theory with Stephen A. Smith.
Look, man, I just speak from experience. I'm pretty sure there's a producer out there trying to sabotage him. I would know.
Okay, that feels true. Well, that feels accurate.
Have you ever tried to sabotage John?
Yes.
Like, have you ever slid something across the table in the
just
production
turn his
meeting
mics on early.
That's going to make John say something that's maybe considered racist?
I've never had to do that. That just
he
blows.
Does it himself?
That he just blows. He doesn't need help there. I get the motivation for trying to sabotage the host.
Okay.
I understand it. That's all.
But you realize, like, at that Stephen A. Smith level, the producer who does that is instantly fired.
Yeah, he
because
loses
he's
job
so replaceable.
Yeah.
I don't understand that you I guess
you always do that when it's horse racing talk, don't you jump in and like
no.
I like the early speed on the Navranex.
No, what I do is I stay in my lane.
Yeah.
If it's something I feel like I've got a working knowledge of.
You know, staying in lane always works.
Almost always.
Getting out of lane can survive getting out of your lane in life. But eventually, when you get out of your lane, you are going to hit another car.
Or people are going to honk at you, and you're going to hurriedly like swerve back into your lane.
Yeah.
Like,
lanes are there for a reason.
And then your heart's racing.
So have you ever driven on a road where when it's there's not a lot of lights, and it's been raining, and you can't really see the lanes? That's not a good feeling.
Yeah.
You get out of your lane.
You two, because of social media and the place you are in your lives, are not used to it because I have to slide out of my lane every time I slide into someone's DMs. Every time you slide into someone's DMs, you're getting out of your lane.
You're taking a risk.
You're taking
for sure.
a risk.
Hold on. How many times are you in people's DMs?
Not all the time, but anytime you do it, there's always a risk. There's always a risk.
Tell us about some of these risks.
You never know how the response is going to be. You're like, all right, I'm going to try this. How clever can I be through the phone? It's pretty much your attempt. And I feel like I'm better face-to-face. The phone thing, my sarcasm, freeze like a-holeness. So
you have to go in emoji.
I have to use emojis to try to get my point across.
Hey, can you start using emojis when we email? Because your
he
email
never texts an emoji. He barely texts. He barely responds.
I don't use emojis through email.
Okay.
He doesn't.
That way I can know it's sarcasm and not you just being an a-hole.
No, you said, hey, can you come show up for this thing? And I was like, yes, I can do that.
Right.
That's the only time we've ever had an exchange.
You thought it might be sarcasm?
Yeah.
Well, I would work off. Okay.
I was actually surprised when he showed up.
Okay, so this is the thing. I would 100% assume that the default for Dell, read everything with sarcasm.
Yeah.
Any text, any email, read it with some level of sarcasm, present or latent. Always. And then you have to work around when he's being serious or not. Like, you're never sure. You can tell when you hear him talk.
Yeah.
You can't tell in writing. So I always work off of you're always being a smartass, though.
Let's see, because AJ sent me an email maybe a week and a half ago about training to be an engineer. And I think I responded.
An engineer?
Yeah. Just
like you're working on the tower on the signal?
Yeah.
Not that engineer.
No, not like an on-site broadcast engineer. On-site broadcast engineer.
Oh.
So I was like,
I'm not interested.
No. I think I said that'll work. I don't. Does that come off as sarcasm?
Crap. How dare
Dell,
you? Who do you think you are?
Does that come off as sarcasm?
Yes.
Who do you think you are?
Yeah, that'll work.
That's not how
I said it.
I didn't say that'll work. Maybe I.
And
did.
There was almost like an implied, I guess.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, you know, that'll work.
Let's see.
I guess.
Yep. AJ talked about having me scheduled. I could have.
Why don't you do a shrug emoji?
I could, because that wasn't my intention.
Well, why don't you put the gif of Elmo going?
It was. I could either showed up at Gulf Greyhound on Thursday or been out at Sam Houston Race Park on Friday. I responded with Gulf Greyhound works. That's not sarcasm. That seems very straightforward.
No, that one was. I got that one. No emojis needed on that.
Hold
one.
Hold on. This is an actual question. I don't mean to be disrespectful. Are they running Greyhounds
yeah.
here? Live Greyhounds.
Live Greyhounds.
I need to get back. You know, that's where I went back in the early 90s when they first started. We drove out, me and Uncle Freddie and some guys at the restaurant where I was waiting tables. We couldn't wait. Like, we had gambling in Texas, in Houston.
Yeah.
So we drove out there. Not a short drive.
Nope.
Not a short drive from the Sugar Land area. We finally got there. It was literally sold out. Like, you couldn't get in. You couldn't get into Gulf Greyhound Park.
Oh, you
everything
can get
was sold
in now.
Out. You can get in now.
Yeah,
yes.
there's seating available.
Dude, we used to watch the races at night. We used to keep up. I knew the track announcer was a guy named Gordon Wood, who was unbelievable. His calls were fantastic.
Track announcer now, Fred's brother.
Yeah, no. He was, but he came in. He knew Gordon Wood. He's been there forever.
Yeah.
It's JP, right?
Yeah, John Paul,
and. But everyone in Houston, like, used to know PT's Nacho Mama. They had ML Bo Backstretch. Their TV, they would do TV ratings for people watching the races. They had big challenge series. It was the Crystal Pepsi Challenge Series. And it was like
Pepsi.
A big showdown of the biggest dogs in one race. The place was packed. It was insane. Like, that was the place to be. It was so fun. I feel like... And this is obviously before the internet, is obviously before 24-hour sports cycle, but everything was a bigger deal. I feel like now, you know what's shocking to me? The AAF's TV ratings were 2.9 million. Basketball, Rockets versus
Thunder.
Oklahoma City on ABC, 2.4. The AAF beat basketball. Does that surprise you?
Yeah.
It surprised me too.
Because all this AAF talk, I had no interest in it.
And you know what? I don't even know that it's... Is it really all this AAF talk? I feel like there hasn't been a ton of talk about it.
I feel like there's been a ton of talk about it. I mean, I heard you talking about it.
After it happened.
I was here last night recording my podcast. And
see how much on Twitter? How many people were talking about it?
It's all over the place. The guys that do overnights on SB Nation, that's all they were talking about. They were talking about, the favorites have been dominating so far. That's true. Like,
I was on dog.
Oh,
I got shut out. I think I had Hackenberg. That's on me.
See, you got out of your lane.
Yeah. That's a great example of getting out of your lane.
You gave another one earlier. Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah.
Pepsi got out of their lane.
They got out of their lane.
Like, what if Sprite showed up tomorrow and was like, hey, introducing Murky Sprite.
Yeah.
And now Sprite all of a sudden is the same color as Coca-Cola.
7-Up and Sprite are like, wait, what, Pepsi?
Yeah, why are you trying to get into our market?
No. You stay in your...
in brown soda lane.
Brown caramel burned
yeah.
lane and leave this crisp, refreshing lane to us. Yeah. That's what happened. And Pepsi got rolled.
I blame ESPN a little bit for...
What about Coke? They tried to go new Coke out of their lane.
Out. I blame ESPN a little bit for putting Stephen A. Smith in those positions, though. Because they pay him so much.
You should be able to talk about Dwayne Haskins, though. You mean a Heisman Trophy?
It's almost embarrassing. I mean, well, it is embarrassing. But like they want to make him seem like a jack of all trades, and he's really not. He's a really, really good NBA guy, and then he can BS his way through some other stuff.
Yeah.
Because even like the Hunter Henry backtrack, when he was like, oh, I was talking about Virgil Green. It's like, oh, Virgil Green, who's had three catches over the last four weeks, being a big impact guy.
He couldn't pull that off.
Good call.
There was no backtrack. It was a huge,
it was just like, dude, I blew it.
Massive failure.
And then ESPN, we've got the UFC on ESPN, our very first show. Who's an expert?
Stephen A's got big opinions. He watches boxing.
Let's use him. Yeah. And it's like, and Stephen A on boxing sometimes can be rough. Like Stephen A and Max Kellerman talking boxing.
Well, Max is like that's a doctorate level.
Right. But so let him do the talking. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like when Fred starts talking horse racing, I just get out of the way. I don't pretend like I know what I'm doing.
I'm sorry, but maybe you don't know this, but we're trying to stay on clock here.
We're past it, by the way.
Yeah, and we're off the clock.
Maybe I wish we had a producer who would put up some music to let us know, hey, it's time to go to break.
He has a live to do, so I can't put up music.
Maybe a producer who gets in his ear and says, hey, you got a live.
Or he can look up at a clock and go, hey, look, it's 8:48.
Don't know what it's like to be Lance.
I can't because this light is in my way. I can't see anything because we're streaming.
Maybe if you stay in your lane and do a producer's job and not worry about what Lance should be doing.
I do stay out of my lane. I don't like talking in my host's ears because it's distracting. I assume my host, who's been doing it for 20-plus years, will stay in his lane and be professional.
I actually accidentally did this spot earlier. Mm. You may remember. So we can just roll some music out now because I accidentally did that one at 7:42. So let's
stay
just play
in my lane.
Some music, and we'll stay in a lane. There are three things that I think the NFL are going to adapt from the AAF. You don't know what they are, right?
I
didn't follow it at all.
I didn't watch
a
single minute of it.
There's at least two things that they will adapt. I'll tell you what they are.
You what they are. Out of my lane.
All right, we'll do that.
Is a Zadok Jewelers ESPN 97.5 Sports Update.
Zadok Jewelers, Houston's premier luxury jeweler for more than 40 years.
Here's Tony Desiri.
Tune into The Usual Suspects with Joel Blank and Barry Laminack starting at 1 on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Lance Zierlein and A.J. Hoffman until Raheel gets in a few minutes. Dell, of course, is here as well, admitted to trying to sabotage us. Like that he's at least put it on the record for HR.
Dell just brought me the box scores from AAF Week 1.
Mm-hmm.
It says the French team beat the Colombians.
No, see, that's a sabotage.
3-1.
That's sabotage. That's soccer. That's a sabotage. What? Yeah.
Oh, he knew I didn't watch the AAF.
Mm-hmm. That's one of his little sabotage tricks. You gotta be careful.
Yeah, the
Dell did.
Birmingham Robber Barons took it out on
such a made up name.
Took it out. Oh, you think? You would think so.
That's got to be a
the
made
Birmingham
up name.
Bags. Do you just a little sly shout out to Alabama?
Let me ask
saying?
You something, AJ. San Diego. No, let's give you something else. Arizona Hotshots, real or fake?
That's fake.
No, it's real.
It's real.
That's the name of the Arizona team.
Oh, play that game with them. AAF names, real or fake, with AJ. Okay. Don't look at them.
Okay.
Don't look at them.
Okay. Let's see. What's the team? The Salt Lake Mustangs, real or fake?
That sounds real.
Fake. Salt Lake Stallions. It's still a horse.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
That was a tricky one.
You're 0-2.
Yeah.
Or especially when he goes, let's see, let's see, let's see. You think that's reverse psychology. He's actually going to give me one.
The Orlando Rockets.
That's fake. They wouldn't do that.
They're the Apollos.
Okay.
Yeah. Still a space theme, but yeah, they're the Apollos. What? I don't even. They're another team. Who's out
there? Memphis Miracle.
That's. What do you think?
That's a tough one. Give me fake.
That is fake. They're not the Miracles.
That's a good one, though.
There is a Memphis team?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. What are they called?
The Express.
You almost said I don't know.
I didn't remember almost.
You know what the Memphis team is called? Ass. Because they had Tristan Hackenberg and they were getting three.
Oh.
Some people had them on money line.
Sorry. Well, that was maybe a mistake.
So here's something I think the NFL
should have stayed in your lane.
I should stay in my lane. No, you made a good point. I'm in the middle of doing draft stuff yesterday. I'm like, you know, it'd be good to have some action on the Memphis Miracle. Yeah. And then Doug goes, they're not named the Miracle.
You know
what
would be great if I put money on Christian Hackenberg?
And I said, who do they have? Mettenberger and Hackenberg? Signed up! Money line! And I got what I deserved.
Who was quarterback in the other team?
I don't know. Somebody who was better than my guy.
Do they all have at least one recognizable like NFL washout?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. I'll pull up some AAF rosters.
As far as quarterbacks are concerned?
I just mean players in general. Like recognizable players.
You will recognize a name on every team unless you're Stephen A. Smith.
Here. All 18. So I'll give you... Here's the Arizona Hotshots, an actual real team. Here are some names that I'm going to say that you will know. Let me see. Now, there's a lot I know because of draft stuff. So some of them that I know. Do you know Josh Huff? Do you remember him from Oregon?
Yeah.
Okay. Josh Huff is on a team.
More of a runner than a thrower.
He's a wide receiver.
Oh. Actually.
Greg Ward is on the San Antonio team.
University of Houston's Greg Ward.
San Antonio has a team?
Yes.
What are they called?
What are they called?
Bandidos?
No. Rancheros?
What are San Antonio called?
I have to look it
up. The Miracle? They're the Miracle.
They're not called the Miracles.
They're called the Commanders.
Do you remember Scooby Wright?
That's a I remember the name.
Linebacker, tackle
White guy?
Monster. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
From Arizona. That's not exactly a huge name, I guess. How about...
Who's San Antonio's big star?
Actually, there's not a lot of big... Atlanta has... Aaron Murray from Georgia, you remember him, the quarterback. Denard Robinson, shoelaces.
Yeah.
You remember him. Let's see, Akram Wadley, I remember him. Justin Thomas, the quarterback from Georgia Tech, who is now a wide receiver.
Atlanta's named the Atlanta Legends, and their color scheme will remind you of an Atlanta strip club.
Black and gold?
It's purple and gold.
Purple and gold, okay, yeah. Close.
Yeah. Oh, wow, Avery Genesee from Texas A&M is on one of these teams. I'm trying to see. Maybe there's not as many. I know Zach Stacy is on a roster. You remember him, running back.
I'm trying to find this. I can't even find the San Antonio roster. They got to figure out a better
way. First of all, it is hard to find. You can't even find a score on it. If you tried to find a score on your standard score apps, whether it's ESPN or the score app, you couldn't. They don't even have AAF in there yet. You couldn't even find scores. You remember Blake Sims, quarterback Alabama? He's on a team. Trent Richardson. Scored 2 touchdowns. He is on a team. LaDainian Washington.
This is
remember
basically
him? Played at TCU.
This
was Hall of Famer.
Quad A baseball.
Yeah. That's exact. This is squad football.
This is Brett Wallace smashing home runs in some podunk town in Iowa and being like, he's ready for the big leagues, but you know he's not ready for the big leagues.
Well, that's 100%.
He'll never
okay,
be there.
Do you have a problem with it?
I mean, I'm just not interested in it.
No. And I think. But you know what's surprising is $2.9 million wanted to check it out.
It really is.
Let's see if they come back. But I asked for people on Twitter to speak up and tell me what they thought. And you see them playing the music now. And they have guys like watch the entire San Antonio game and parts of others that these guys are all making the same amount, get bonuses if the team does well, so there shouldn't be egos, holdouts, contract moaning. The game flow was good. I like the fewer commercials. I hope it sticks around. 35-second shot clock, basically. Speeds it up by 5 seconds. Fewer commercials. The game flow is quicker. They have transparency with their
officiating.
They're officiating with the
replay.
With the replay, it's mic'd up the whole time, so you hear what they're thinking and what they're going through. The transparency, and they have a sky judge. If there's a mistake in officiating, the press box basically will immediately stop the game and correct the official's mistake. Some things that I think are going to hit. We'll talk about onside kick roll. I'm not sure that one's going to work out. And we'll see if Mr. Basketball Raheel was shocked at all that the AAF beat Rockets Thunder. Mm. That was for a league that basketball's ratings have dropped a lot.
The Rockets
this year
and the Thunder are two teams devoid of star power, so that's tough.
No, they've got Paul George and Russell Westbrook and James Harden.
I got out of my lane.
Hashtag unstoppable tour.
Oh, look, it's the...
I got out of my lane. That's my bad.
It's the right-leaning football media. Running with fake numbers, as always. So basketball average, the average has worked out, but it peaked at a higher number, by the way.
We'll come back. Yeah. You can make your point.
Right-leaning football.
You can try to put your cape on if you like.
By the way, stand up for the anthem. Ratings.
I was excited last night. Yeah. I watched the right before True Detective came on, there was a commercial for the case for Adnan Syed.
Yeah.
And you're starring in that.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that on the other side. That's legit. Like, ooh.
ESPN 97.5.